Oh boy, I can hear all kinds of things out here. It's a little windy. A little windy today. I hear a wind chime once in a while. There's some wind blowing. That's alright. That's alright. Actually, looks like it's gonna rain, so I'll probably get wet and ruin what little equipment that I have, so I may not be able to finish this. But anyway, I was online. And once in a while, I'll get involved with a conversation with somebody. And, I don't like to because there's too many people out there now to think they're Mr. Know-It-Alls. Mr. Self-man-made prophets and preachers that know everything when they don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. Sorry to say. Yeah. I was just thinking about this last thing, conversation I had with this guy. And the more he talked, the more you could see he was just way out in left field. Way out in left field. And so, like I said in my last message, you know, this is where I end my conversation with you. You're just, blinded, and, you hear that now? Oh, you're gonna hear all kinds of things. Maybe I shouldn't be outside. Oh, that's alright. Deal with it. So anyway, I just thought I'd talk about that a little bit today. Large part, I think of the besides are still... Man, sounds like the train's gonna run me over. Even though it's a half mile away. A large part of the misunderstandings over the character of God or the Bible, not understanding it, I think they come from the fact that some important principles of interpreting Scripture are being neglected. People, it's my way or the highway, usually. In their lives, and it's the same with the Bible. They come up with this, maybe reading one verse, and bam, it just, they build the whole Scripture off that, or their life off of that, off of one verse. Don't judge me, thou shalt not judge. Okay, is that what it really means? Alright, so, I think in a lot of cases, or for the majority of cases, people are simply not aware of the potential problems of interpreting Scripture correctly. So, I don't know, maybe I'll try and help you with that, maybe I'll make you worse. Who knows? Throughout the years, we know that there's been Bible students, scholars, who worked out the principles and interpretations of the Bible in the past. I would tend to look at people before the, early 1800s, if you were going to go to that type of situation of reading what other men wrote in commentaries, because everything after that is all garbage. We got guys now that came up with their own Bibles and come up with their own commentaries throughout the Bible, and they're all, for the most part, junk. John M., I could say he's one of those. I don't like that guy. He's a He's a sellout to the system. Well, yeah, he's one of the most well-known preachers in the land. Anyway, you got all these good principles that they came out with, and so we can look at them. It's nice to not always have the Bible, and even though I believe you should go 99.9% on that, it's always okay to look at what somebody else says if you're stuck on something or you can't figure it out yourself. You know, what does this mean? I've read it 25 times. I just can't get it. Or maybe somebody else came up with the answer. So perfectly fine to see what they have to say and then see if it aligns with your spirit, with your Holy Spirit. And if it does, man, you just learned something new and you added more to your repertoire. Of knowing the Bible, you're growing and maturing as a Christian. But again, you got to use wisdom in reading what other people write. I don't care who it is and what they're writing about. You got to use wisdom and then decide if you should follow them or not. And like I said, I would certainly stay away from people like... I'm not going to name names. I said I'm not going to name names. Lord, I won't. One day I might. What do you do? What do you do? You should, sometimes have to put yourself aside. Put yourself aside. Well, you should always put yourself aside, actually. Every time we put ourselves forward, usually it's not good. We want to keep filled with the Holy Spirit and Jesus on top of our thinking. So, when you read the Bible, you should lay aside all your thoughts or propositions of what you think it means or should mean, and God doesn't hate. He's not wrathful. He loves everybody. Well, that's not true. He's a very wrathful God. He created hell for people to go to, and so, a lot of people want to keep their eyes and ears closed to the verses they don't want to actually hear and just keep them open to the goody-two-shoe verses, like you hear in 90% of the churches nowadays. They just want to tickle your ears with goody-goody thoughts and pretty much not talk about sin, when sin is pretty much... big part of our lives, is it not? We don't want it to be. We don't want it to be. I hate sin. Can't stand it. But that doesn't mean sometimes it gets a hold of me. It's like it gets hold of anybody. And so you need to be convicted of that so you can get back on track. So you need to thoroughly compare Scripture with Scripture. That's one thing you gotta do. And to pursue it and study in a regular and methodical manner. Can't just say, okay, I'm going to read it for 10 minutes today and say, okay, I know the Bible. No, you got to read it for hours and hours and hours and hours. And you got to read it every day, because every day you get away from it, your candle gets dimmer and dimmer. So, it's got to be part of your life. Good part to do it is, make it a part of your life is to read it in the morning. First thing you do when you get up, what do? You hit your snooze button 100 times and then rush to throw your clothes on and take off out the door? Or do you wake up an hour early, spend time with the Lord in prayer and reading His Word and getting your day straightened out in your mind, how you're going to do things and handle things? Because you spend an hour with the Lord in the morning. And I tell you what, when you do that, this is the outset for your whole day, how it's going to be. I can tell you that and promise you that. Lunchtime, what's wrong with bringing a little Bible? I got a little Bible. I got one that's like 3 or 4 inches long. I got that in. I carry it everywhere. I carry it in my pocket. I may not read it all the time, but sometimes if I'm just, okay, I'm going to take a sit on this park bench, pull it out and read it. Pull it out and read it. In the evening, instead of turning on the TV, turn on God. It's what you're supposed to be doing, but people turn on the TV, they turn on the death box. They turn on being programmed to take a shot. Programmed to believe in a stuff that doesn't exist, but scares the hell out of people. Scares out all the people. Next thing you know, man, I'm afraid of getting monkey bugs. Good Lord, I don't want to catch that. Well, are you a homo? You're not going to get it unless you're a homo. Or a lesbian, eating butt. Do you eat butt for a living? Or have sex that way, eating butt, sticking your penis in buttholes? Yeah, then you're going to get monkeypox. Although I must say that very likely these people that have gotten these vaccines, one of the side effects of getting the vaccine are the thousands. Have you read the thousands of side effects of the vaccine? If you haven't died of a heart attack or a stroke, one of those is shingles and things like that. They're things that grow on your body. That's what monkeypox is now. It didn't just come out of nowhere. You know where it came from? It came from the vaccine. Just like a lot of illnesses. And there's going to be a lot more to come out one by one. The more people take these shots after shots. Like sheep. Anyway. Best thing to do is start out with Genesis, I think. And go verse by verse. Verse by verse. And don't be in a rush. Because you can go in a rush and then you're not getting the true meaning of the passages. So, take each verse as slowly as you need to understand it. Each chapter as slowly as you need to understand it. And then if it maybe you only worked through the first chapter. Or maybe you did real well and you're up to the fourth, you know, in no time. That's good. That's good, but only go as fast as you can until you understand what it's saying. If you find something that's you can't understand or it's obscure to you, you gotta compare it to different passages, what it might be saying. That's where concordance comes in handy. I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 of those things. You gotta understand the word. Well, what is this word? Because you should be reading in the, don't read these new versions that they have of the Bible. Stay away from them like the plague. I read the Geneva Bible. That's the only Bible I'll read now. I won't read Jim Jimmy's. I've explained that in the past, why I don't like government books purposely written to deceive. But you'll see that. If you want to see where I wrote that, you'll find it somewhere, what I wrote about King Jimmy. I think it's page KJ / KJ at the end. So, examined the text of the scripture. Some seems obscurity, and then separate there and then, and check out what it's saying, what it's, you know, what it means. Where maybe that word is used somewhere else in the Bible, and then it'll really help you understand. And then once you let every one of those words have its proper bearing on the subject of the text, and then you start understanding it, and it harmonizes with all the other passages in the Bible where maybe that word was used or that meaning was used. And then things get more easy to understand and less difficult to not understand. One thing you have to understand about the Bible is that it's own interpreter. Own interpreter, did you know that? If you don't understand one part of the Bible, if you read somewhere else, another part of the Bible will explain it. And it's a pretty big book, so it might take you a while to understand everything. When I say a while, I say years and years and years and years. That's something you learn overnight, or over a day, and or a month, or a year. It takes years and years to fully comprehend the Bible. And then you could think you have an understanding one thing, have it down pat, and then boom, you read it again, and then you get more insight. The Holy Spirit opens your eyes even more to insights of what something means, what the Bible is saying, God's Word is saying. Jesus is saying, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And then you could see, like you might find a subject of prophecy. Okay, what is prophecy? And you know, how do I learn that and find out about that? Well, you just compare scripture with history. You see that all the prophecies of the Old Testament, they've been fulfilled. Literally fulfilled. Especially when it came to Jesus. There are many prophecies about Jesus as being the Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The only thing is the Israelites at the time, they thought that, well, that Messiah is going to overtake the Romans. And we're going to start all over again like we did in the past before we kept going backwards. And then God had to take us to Babylon. But unfortunately, for the Israelites, Jesus had a different plan. His kingdom is above, not below. And he didn't do quite what they thought. Even John got mystified by what was happening and not happening. He thought Jesus was going to cut loose and destroy the Romans. Destroy the Romans. Be like David and just take over Israel again, but that wasn't the case. Israel and Judea, I should say. So anyway, yeah, you'll find all kinds of figures and metaphors and parables and similitudes, etc. in the Bible. And so there's a lot of things to go through. So that takes a while. You ain't gonna understand it overnight. And you'll see that the system is the Bible is a system of revealed truths, and they're revealed in many, many ways. So, but again, remember the Bible is its own interpreter. If it you find something that says, well, what in the world? You can understand it somewhere else. In the Bible, you're going to find the meaning of what you're looking for. And this is very important when it comes to the various figures and metaphors and parables and similitudes, etc., of the Bible. Because many things in Scripture can't be literally understood because they involve these and others, figures of speech. And so you have to go in different directions to understand sometimes. Nowadays, many people have become very slack in their use of language and understanding of its structure. All the time you'll hear people say, well, if the Bible says it, I believe it. Or I take it, you know, the Scripture just as it reads. Well, you ain't going to do that in Revelation, I can tell you that. I can tell you that for sure. Maybe sadly mistaken if you think that how it's written is how it's meant to be understood. All the symbolism and things going on in that book. So, a lot of people are just lazy. And they just don't want to take the time to investigate and understand what Scripture really means. And they just rather just see what it might appear to be saying on the surface. Like they're reading a novel or some kind of book. You just pick up off the shelf. That isn't what the Bible is. The Bible is the living Word of God. And you have to have the Holy Spirit in you to understand it. That's why the Bible says over and over that people are blind. Blind, you'll never understand God. You'll never understand God's Word if you're of this world still. I was blind before I got saved. Who isn't? Before you're saved, you're blind. Totally blind. It takes the Holy Spirit to come to you. You don't come to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to you. He draws you to Him. Somehow, some way, before you were saved, that happened. You just didn't one day say, oh, I think I'm going to see what this God thing's all about. And, well, maybe I'll get saved. No. God already was starting to work on your heart. He was drawing you new to Him first, in different ways. There's a lot of different ways He can do that. How He did that with you would be totally different with me. So, let's see. Let's look at John 5:39. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Search. Search. Really get into it. Don't just surface read it. Get into it. Get into it like you'd get into a TV show or a ball game if you go to ball games. Your team's on the this last game of winning the World Series or something like that. Get into God like that, His Word. Do you do that? Are you that excited and about doing that with God's Word? Alright, what else we got here? Matthew 22:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. He's telling the people there that, they think they know what they're talking about. They don't. They had no idea what they were talking about. They might have had outward things, a few verses stuck in their head, like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Yeah, you might know that one, right? So in non-scriptures, that involve more than knowing scriptures here and there, but also knowing how they relate to each other. That's how you understand the big picture. If you decided you're going to go camping, and then you walked into that forest, big forest, I'm talking a big forest. You wouldn't know it by just looking at one or a few of the trees standing there, would you? You know, trees go for miles. So you see one tree, well, two trees, oh, that must be the whole forest. That must be the whole forest. No, that ain't the whole forest. There's a thousand other different types of trees in there. So you walk into the forest, you're not going to find the full extent of it. And, its boundaries, topography, yeah, that's the word I probably want to say, and all the things that are involved in the forest. You find how it grows, the different water sources it has, streams and rivers, ponds, pools of water, it's all kinds of things. So, do you understand what I just said? I don't know if I did. I think you did. Maybe I did too. I'm saying you can't just look into a forest and see the whole forest without getting inside of it. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So, scriptures, they use symbols. We know that. And truth is, there's no one way that you could read just one part of the Bible. And, like I said, like in Revelation, and say, well, I sure do understand that with all the symbols. Unless you go throughout the whole rest of the Bible. Example might be the four horsemen that you read about in Revelation. Well, you can find that in the Old Testament. Or would that be in the book of Daniel? Speaking about the same thing, except in a kind of different way. Which, by the way, all those things are happening now. All those things are happening. Four horsemen are loose. They're loose. They're running around, doing their thing, destroying. Okay. Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So, a lot of people will go to churches and listen to a pastor. No, that's, I guess, what the Bible means. That's what the Bible means. They'll hear a freak on the stage with a ball spinning behind him, talking crazy, positive thinking psychology. Really nothing to do with the Bible, but I believe it. That's what the Bible means, and that's what it says. That's what they did in Thessalonica. They would hear the word, but then they search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Are you doing that? If you go to church, a lot of people don't go to church. And I wrote all about the church thing, I think, on the first page. If you read through the whole thing, if you took the time to read what I wrote on the first page I ever wrote over 2.5 years ago. And I explained church to you. But if you're going to a building, I'll say a building, still, if you have a good place to go, and there's not many out there anymore. If you found one, God bless you, and God bless you. You found a good building with God, Holy Spirit people, Holy Spirit pastor, hopefully. So yeah, you got to search the scriptures daily. And actually, you are supposed to do that daily for yourself. For yourself. You're the church. You are the temple of God. Did you know that? So why are you putting all your faith and trust in another man when you're supposed to have that same knowledge yourself anyway? You should be smarter than the pastor, actually. How come you're not? How come you're not? Because you're not reading God's word as much as you should? Because you're too busy involved in other things? Wasting 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours watching TV? How many hours do you spend on your smartphone? Going to all these different social websites. How much time do you waste there? Or on your computer? Computers, good thing and a bad thing. It's used more for bad than good, unfortunately. But it's where you put your mind. It's what you set your mind to is how you're going to be filled with the Spirit and God's Word and mature in Him. You're not going to mature in Him watching hours and hours of TV because you're filling your mind with garbage. Trannies. Craziness. You're being programmed by the devil. Did you tell the TV actually programs your mind? If you don't believe that, throw it out in the garbage today. Throw it out. Throw it out. Throw your TV out today. Or unplug it. You say, I'm not going to throw out the TV I paid $1,000 for. No way, dude. Okay, well, unplug it then. Unplug the freaking thing today. See if you're not like somebody just said, I'm going to quit smoking and put their pack of cigarettes in the drawer. See how long it takes for you to go in that drawer again. See how long it takes for you to plug that TV in again. See if you're addicted. Addicted to Satan that way. All right, so where was I? And how far are we already? Holy cow, we're already got a half hour in. What was I talking about? Oh, those people in Thessalonica, Micah, yeah. They did what they're supposed to do. They got into the Word of God themselves. And we need to search the Scriptures to confirm whatever those things were so that people have told us and put in our heads, especially if we go to a building. Because a lot of times we have long-held beliefs, don't we? From the time we're a kid, and we were brought up in Satan's own church. I was brought in that cult church where I went through, what is it called? Communion. Confirmation and all that crap, man-made crap, and hearing them spew the same crap every week, the same old, same old. So you get long-held beliefs from your kid, because even they say if you get them when they're a kid, we got them for life. Kind of true and kind of not true, because a lot of people get saved and they leave that Satanic church system. I did. I made it out. And I got a lot of people to get out of it, too. Because they're programmed. They're programmed like a cult. It's a giant cult. Giant satanic cult. You have people that are programmed. And they don't even know it. They don't even know. You know why? Because they don't get into the Bibles themselves. And then they would say, well, this whole religion is way, 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 way out in left field. Totally nuts and satanic. And actually has all kinds of Roman paganism intertwined with it. That being because of narrow, Emperor Nero. Nero? He was narrow-minded. That's why I'm thinking Nero. He thought he was a god. Did you know that? And so his successor in the religious part of it thinks he's a god too. God on earth. There ain't no god on earth. Alright, not part of what I was going to talk about today. Maybe I'll talk about that whole religion one day. Lord calls me to do so. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. That from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, he's talking to Timothy, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Wow, that's a lot of things, ain't it? What Scripture's for? It has all those things. It's for reproof and for correction and instruction and righteousness. Notice he says from a child. You're teaching your children the Bible daily. When you go to eat dinner, pull out your Bible, read some scripture and pray to God and thank him for all he's given you. And then after the meal, take a 20 minutes to have your kids read the Bible to you. Yeah, have the kids read the Bible to you. Let them learn God's word. That's how it starts. Isaiah 28:29. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. So, what is he saying? It helps us to understand the Bible's precepts. Precept is a commandment or direction given as a rule or action of conduct. So, the Bible is line by line, verse by verse, book by book, New Testament, Old Testament, everything in a little bit and everything as a whole. And then we'll put it all together, and then we're a happy-go-lucky person. And that doesn't happen overnight, like I said. It doesn't happen in a day, a month, a year. It takes years, years, years. And I bet if you went to anybody that's an elderly person that is a true-born Christian and is very knowledgeable about the Bible, I would guarantee they would say, well, it would take me 10 more lifetimes to really fully grasp it and understand it. Because that's the truth. That is the truth. Anyways. We need to grow in our understanding of Scripture. It's putting as much in the Scripture as you put in the whatever things outside of that you do now. That you probably shouldn't be. It's got to be a daily and high priority habit. And once you make it a habit, like eating, you eat, don't you? But you have a habit of eating. You got to make a habit at least 3 times a day of getting into God's Word. Once you do that, you're going to be very well rewarded. Very well rewarded. Because you'll understand God's system and totally understand the beast system, what it is now. And you'll understand we are in the last days. And you'll understand what all this great beast that is. And Satan is totally taking over the world now and trying to mimic God in every way, shape, and form. And so, yeah, figures of speech can't always be taken literally, and it's something we gotta look into. Metaphors. That's an image which suggests similarities between two different ideas without implying they are identical. And scripture uses many metaphors to illustrate its use. Often a declaration is made very directly that one is or represents another. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. And then some other times you might see a different context of that. Isaiah 5:5. So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. Those are two metaphors. Israel is likened to a vineyard, and its divine protection to a hedge. So, see the difference? You can't always look at something and say, well, that's what that is. There's gotta use the right context. And so you can go, let's go to Isaiah 5:7. If you just go a little farther down, we were in 5:5, now we're in 5:5, it's gonna explain itself. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. Just told you what that vineyard was. So, whether you read the original Hebrew or you're a reader of the King James, which I told you, I would probably get away from that and get into the Geneva Bible. That's the Bible that predates the King James, and one I trust. Read those and you figure out the meaning of the words used, because sometimes they could be different than how you would understand that word to mean nowadays. I mean, you're talking 1560 is when the Geneva Bible was written. 1560, so written in English. So words might be used a little different now. Or how about similes? Simile is a literary device that makes a comparison between two things using the words like or as. Example would be Isaiah 40:11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So, saying him, this is my shepherd, that simile says, like a shepherd. But neither is literally true. They are figurative expressions to be understood as such, but are used to convey important truths. So, did you get all that? You understand that? Hope I explained that. What a simile is, and a metaphor is. The Bible's full of those things. So, if you don't understand those things, do a study on what a metaphor is, what a simile is, and or parables. People get all weed whacked in parables, and there's many forms of language in the scripture that cannot be taken literally. And parables are very well-known literary device. And Jesus used a great number of them. In fact, let's see what he says. Matthew 13:34. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. And without a parable spake he not unto them. That's how he spoke to the people. And the parables cannot always be really understood even by those knowing the language. Even the disciples would be like, what? Many times you'd be saying the parables, and then they go, I don't quite understand what the heck you were talking about there. Look at it. Matthew 13:36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went to the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parables of the tares of the field. So he had to explain it to them, too. Parable, a lot of times it serves as an illustration or a story that is designed to teach a lesson beyond its literal meaning. If you look at it as a strictly literal type reading, you're going to miss out on the deeper, truer intent of the parable. When Jesus was around the Pharisees' office and criticized them, because they lived by the letter of the law, then they didn't understand their deeper meaning, the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. Of course, they were all into their calumet already at the time, and so they were really out in left field. You want everyone to see something evil. Look into the Talmud, Babylonian Talmud, which is what the Pharisees were really into. And that happens to be true for today. If you're a rabbi, that's what you teach. You don't teach the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. You teach the Talmud, Babylon Talmud. That is what is taught in synagogues. And if you ever want to be freaked out, and if you really want to understand what's happening in the world now, you'll see who is behind what's going on in this world. But that's a whole different subject that I'm talking about, understanding the Bible. How about Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount? Many times Jesus showed the difference between the literal and true meaning of the law. He would start many of his things saying, you have heard it said. You know, the literal thing, meaning, I mean the literal words. But this is what I say, which was truer and the deeper meaning of what actually was being read. Oh boy, here we go again. Now we got idioms, not idiotisms. You know, there's a lot of idiots in this world. I'm talking about idioms. And so, you know, parables can be hard to understand. You know, that Jesus had to explain them often to his followers. Metaphors and similes are not too bad for someone who knows the language and understands that there is such a thing as those figures of speech. Now we get to idioms, and they're a lot harder to understand. Someone can know the words of the language and each word's meaning, but if they have not learned the meaning of a particular idiom, it would be nearly impossible to grasp the meaning. So that's why if you get stuck on some verse, just, man, I can't get it, I can't understand it. Well, that's where the idioms comes into play. Idioms cannot be literally understood because the literal meaning of the individual does words. They don't always add up to the meaning of the idiomatic phrase. Now we're getting deep, aren't we? Unless a person, they're quite familiar with these words of the language, they learn that particular idiom, they will not understand what it says. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. There's a lot of things other than just looking at the face of the Bible. You got to get deeper than that. and understand that there's biblical idioms and similes and metaphors, all kinds of goodies out there to get yourself through. Somebody might say, okay, I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place, man. In fact, I remember saying that to somebody a couple weeks ago. So when they say that, what are you doing? You start to wanting to grab a rope and start looking for a way to free them up. I mean, they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. But you look and you don't see that, but that's what they said. It's because it's something different in their meaning. What they're actually trying to say is, I'm in a difficult or bad situation, dude. And I ain't got no good way of escaping it. So, see the difference there? Maybe somebody would say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You said that in the appropriate situation, someone had recently learned English and knew all the words, but not the idiom itself. You might receive a blank stare from whoever you said that to. I said, what the heck do you mean? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. So, there's a lot of things you gotta delve into with the word. Hebrew. Do you know Hebrew? I don't. I don't know. It'd be a very hard word, language to understand. So we could see as time has gone on, there's all these different variations of Bibles out there, and they're different where they write things. Here's one version: break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer, call his wickedness to account till you find none. Then you go forward in time and another version comes out. And then they got to break the power of the wicked people, punish them for the evil they have done. Totally different things, huh? We got to somebody's looking at that and breaking it down and writing how they think it is supposed to say what it's saying. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer, and call the wickedness to account till you come and find none. Or break the power of the wicked people, punish them for the evil they have done. And that's the problem with these versions today, these different versions of the Bible today. They really, really, they take things out of the Bible, actual verses and meanings that are very important. And then they add a bunch of junk too, so you got to be real careful. And that's why I've always gone as far back as I could go. Now, there were other Bibles besides the Genesis Bible, 1516, or 1560, I think there was another one, 1380 already, in English. But I settled on that one. That's the one that came to America. That's the one, the people that they were sick of all the tyrants in England and one religious freedom. That's the book they brought with them. They didn't want nothing to do with the King James Bible. They threw that in the garbage, and they brought their Geneva Bible. Look it up, you'll find that out. I don't know how much farther I want to get in this. Well, I'll go a little farther. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. Maybe I do. Maybe I do. Maybe you if you understood one thing I'm saying, one thing I was trying to explain is how the Bible isn't something you just understand easily. It takes a lot of prayer and a lot of reading it over and over and over again. And there's a lot of reasons that it's hard to understand. And so you got to break down those things and make it what it is. Like the book of Revelation, you'll never understand that. Never, ever understand that. Unless you do a study on different reasons, how it's written and what it actually means. And even then, you have people that have fought forever on what Revelation means. You'll find people that come up with their own thoughts. And, but for most people fight about it. And no, I don't mean that. It means this. So that's where you got to trust in God and the Holy Spirit. And that He works it all out for you. So, well, getting almost an hour. So, anyway, yeah, so break that arm. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil there. That's actually an idiomatic expression for break the power. Break the power, not somebody's arm, rip their arm off. It's talking about breaking the power. Understand? Break the arm of the wicked and the evildoer. Actually means break the power. Break the power. Let's see. I'll give you another example. Deuteronomy 5:6. I am Jehovah thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Well, what do you mean? He brought him out of the house of bondage. There was actually a house there that had bondage in it. I got some homos excited. No, I'm not talking about bondage that way, fools. What he's actually meaning by the house of bondage is slavery. So, see how the difference there? Brought him out of the house, or out of the house of slavery. Not bondage. Alright, 2 Kings 4:29. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take up thy staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not, and if any salute thee, answer him not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. What in the world? What in the world does that mean? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thy hand. Now go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. Ignore him, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. So what does gird up thy loins mean? Well, gird up thy loins is an idiom meaning something like get ready. Get ready and prepare yourself for some rigorous activity. Doesn't mean pull your pants up. Is that what you were thinking? Gird up your loins? Pull your pants up? Why would he be down anyway? No. Saying get ready. Get ready. So, anyways, in the Bible there's thousand, who knows, more idioms in the Bible. And so, again, got to go backwards. Don't go into these new versions, because for the most part, people back then, they didn't have nothing better to do but to read the Bible and to live the Bible and to live decent Christian lives. And everybody's all sucked up in the TV and electronics, making money and things, worried about the next thing they can buy or have. They didn't think that way back then. So, that's why I say in the older translations, I'll say the King James Version, if you still want to read that, but they translated them more faithfully and accurately than today's. And they translated them literally. I'm about wrapped up, man. I think I felt a raindrop. A room of little electronics that I have right here in a room, so I better wrap this up. What else should I say? I don't know. I think I'm idiomed out. All as I know is that people, they say, I take the Bible just as it reads. And you can't do that. You can't do that. There's too many different things involved with understanding and reading the Bible. And I just told you some of them. There's actually more things besides that. And it's great danger if you think I'm just going to read the Bible as it reads. Because you got to go way deeper than that. And if you're in that position and that's how you think, then you're in a dangerous spot. And you're like this guy that I was talking to in the discussion room. And I had no idea what he's talking about. We don't want to be in that place, do we? We want to understand the Bible. And we want to search the scriptures. We want to search them. And pursue them. We want to find all the hidden treasures and gems that God has there waiting for us to find. Because there's a lot of them. A lot of them. And the more you mature in Christ, the more you're going to find. But you're not going to do it unless you're in God's Word. You have to get in God's Word. Daily. 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 Make it a regimen. Just like whatever you do. If you got one thing you do every day, you got to either replace it or add to it. Okay, I'm going to add my Bible reading to that. Then you got to have all your time with praying to God and talking to Him. How much time do you pray and talk to God every day? It should be a lot. It should be a lot, especially nowadays. You need God and His insights more than ever. These sneaky bastard beasts nowadays, they're out to fool you. And the Bible says if it were possible, they would even fool the elect. And they're doing a damn good thing of trying to do that. Especially with these shots from hell to change your DNA and turn you into Satan's seed. You know, after you get that shot, I'm not going to say it. All right, that's it. It is now definitely starting to rain, so God has shut me off. God bless you, and hope I help you to know that the Bible is more than just glossing it and reading over the top of it and thinking, I understand what it says. No, you don't. No, you don't. There's a lot you have to get into to really understand the Bible. And I probably just touched on a few things. But the main thing is you got to pray before you even start reading. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please help me to understand the word. Help me to understand the word, and then help me to apply it to my life. And may I be a living, breathing example of the word, just as Jesus Christ was, so that those around me may see God. They might see me, but they're going to be seeing God. And Lord, may I be an instrument of getting those people saved, as saying that, and not as all the rest of these evil people that are running around in the world now, that they use as examples. All right. Amen. God bless you, friend.